Now, some thought Donald Trump might have led to another contested convention this year. Turns out it didn't. But his run for president did give us this.
I do know what I'm doing. I want to help women with women's health issues. Nobody's going to be able to do it like me.
And like, a lot of us are really smart. I'm really smart.
You know, I'm really good with that stuff. You know, anybody that likes me, I like.
I just want to make this country so great. And that's what's going to happen. And that's what's going to happen. Oh, that's so beautiful.
The American dream is dead.
That montage of Donald Trump is part of a YouTube hit with over 1.2 million views since it went up last October. The voice is Trump's, but the person lip-syncing the words is sitting on a front porch wearing an American flag t-shirt and swilling beer. It was the first in a series called The Drunk Trump Videos, put out by Friend Dog Studios, run by three Kansas City guys, and they join me here in the studio now. Introduce yourselves and tell me what I need to know about you.
Yeah, my name's Brian Huther. I'm one third of Friend Dog Studios. I'm a local actor, writer, creator. I'm the guy who did the lip syncing to the Donald Trump quotes in that video.
My name is Ben Auksher. I'm all the stuff he said, except that I didn't lip sync in that video.
I'm Seth Mackey. I am the drunk friend next to Brian in all of those videos.
Arguably the best part.
Arguably the hardest role to act.
Before I talk a little bit about what else you guys are doing, I have to say when I saw the video, it seemed to me a little bit drunk history, as we've seen on Comedy Central. Mm-hmm. Maybe with a little bit of influence of slow jamming the news. So where did the inspiration for Drunk Trump come from?
It came from a very small version of it that Brian did initially.
Yeah, I woke up one morning and Trump had said the comment about how he was going to be the best at the military because he's a very tough guy. And I thought it was sort of an absurd thing to say. And there's an app called Dub Smash, which essentially does that. You can lip sync to celebrity quotes and music and things like that. And I think that remixing media is really sort of in the zeitgeist right now, where you take video and audio and you kind of tweak it around and do new things with it. And I just did a very quick, short lip sync of that quote with some beers and stuff. I shared it on my own personal Facebook page. And my friends shared it, and then my friends' friends shared it, and I thought this might be a good video for us to do. And it was our third video that we put out, and it did very well.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, before we move on, we just had Steve Kraske at the top of the show at the RNC. Are you seeing any new material at the RNC?
Oh, God. Here's the thing. We have more material than we could ever use. We've already made three of these videos.
Trump, right.
And we get asked sometimes, like, how long it takes to find the quotes. And the answer is not long. It's when he's talking in debates, he's more careful. And it's you don't quite get these. But at his rallies, when it's him and his base, that's when he's just kind of the truest version of himself, mm-hmm. I think, or at least the freest version, and they keep coming and coming.
We also get people who say, you know, like, yeah, I bet you guys are crossing your fingers for Donald Trump to win and so that you can have so much material for 4 years, and we're like, well, I don't know if that's, you know, comedy is one thing, but, so, you know, it's kind of a...
It is easy to find, though. It's very easy to find.
It's super easy.
On the other side, are we seeing any? Are we seeing any Democratic targets that we may see?
You know, we wanted to do one about Bernie Sanders, where he was like a cranky guy in the line at the DMV.
Yeah.
We didn't get around to it. I personally don't see anybody on the other side who's quite as much of a target, because Donald Trump is just so loose with his speech at those rallies.
Yeah.
But it is possible to do videos mm-hmm. like that for a number of different people.
Oh, yeah.
So Drunk Trump takes off, and now I guess the question is, you guys making a living? Your folks proud of you?
Those are two separate questions. I think we are making our living as artists and performers, and that's awesome. The income that we get from this in particular is sort of steadily growing. We're kind of trying to build a business from the ground up. All of our funding comes from supporters. We have a a page on a website called Patreon. And Patreon is this way for supporters to support the things they like directly through these little, like, sort of pledges. So, like, every time you make something, I'll throw you $1 or $3 or whatever.
And they get bonus content along with it, too.
Yeah,
which is a nice incentive for people to support us. And for,
I got $9 in my wallet, so what does that get me?
That gets you a free interview with us.
Wow. Well, you know, send me an invoice. So after this, you guys, I've listened to part of your podcast, seen some of your sketches. You've got a little web series going. I mean, this is really taken off. And so tell me a little bit more about some of these other ventures you're in.
Well, the web series kind of started before the three of us got together. Mm-hmm. Ben and Brian had a duo called Dog and Friend Dog Studios. They wanted to make a pilot for a podcast, a web series, and you know, I was very good friends with them at the time. This is Seth speaking. And so, you know, that happened, and it was a great pilot. And then when we moved in together the year later, we decided, you know, why don't we do this Friend Dog Studios thing and start with sketches and add the web series can be a part of that. And it has. It's just a fun thing. We've got a lot of different avenues we can take.
We have a huge appetite for creation, and we just love to make things. We've always got ideas floating around the house, and so it's a little bit tough for us to restrict ourselves. We make about a video a week. Mm-hmm. We make about one podcast episode a week, and our podcast is called For Serious. And then we've got stage projects, and we've just always got a lot of different things going on.
Yeah, our newest stage venture is a new Fringe show. We wrote a musical for the Fringe last year, and that was a ton of fun. And so even though we really love putting all of this stuff out on the internet because you can reach so many people so quickly and it's a ton of fun, it is also fun for us to go back to our roots and do live stuff here on stage here in KC. So we do a good amount of that as well.
Yeah, I want to play another clip from Shaving Sasquatch. But before we move on, I just want to be able to say that as often as I can on the radio. But before we move on, tell me a little bit about the Fringe Fest piece that you're doing.
The Fringe Festival piece that we are doing is called Hacks. It's going to go up at the Living Room Theater. It opens this Friday. And, oh, geez, in a nutshell, Hacks is a dark comedy about a couple of guys who accidentally start a cult. And it's unlike anything we've ever done before, but I really love it. It stars the three of us and our good friend Ellen Kirk. And I'm really looking forward to getting this up in front of some audiences and seeing what they think.
All right. Yeah. Now, before I came in here, a lot of people stopped me and they said, Sam, are you going to play the Shave Sasquatch video? And I promised them that I would. So let's take a quick listen and we'll talk about it on the other side.
Sure.
People ask me, why do you do this, Lawrence? Well, you don't make any money from it. Money's not the only thing in the world, dummy. Passion, hope, believing in the cause. The cause I believe in is shaving Sasquatch.
I'm gonna show you a few tools I bring with me all the time. This little painter's brush. It's sharp, it's short, we could comb him. But here is an interesting tool, chalk lime. This stuff you can use to better lure the Squatch into your territory. Go like this. Then you got a trail. Sasquatch is going to see these, be interested. He's going to say, I want to know who this blue man is. I'm right here.
So that so this is a sketch about three guys who it's their goal in life to find Sasquatch, shave Sasquatch, and let him go.
Yeah, it's like a reality show.
It's a spoof on that. And
so a catch and release sort of a thing?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And this was your idea, Seth. This one was your idea. Where did this come from?
It was one of my weird brain sparks. I don't know.
Your brain parks?
You know, you get those weird little pops in your brain where you get an idea. I don't know.
I think you're the only one who's ever had a pop in your brain.
All right.
Did this just happen to pop into your head after what is the beef jerky commercial with Sasquatch?
Oh yeah, they're messing with him.
Yeah, not really. Yeah. It was more reality TV and just like the crazy stuff you see on that. And so I presented it to the guys, and at first they were like, "What?" And then after a while, they kind of ruminated on it, and they're like, "Yeah, that sounds kind of funny." And that's how a lot of our ideas go, which is great because, you know, we'll present something and it's like, what are you talking about? And then the more we think about it, because our brains kind of work in very similar ways, we think very similar, you know, we end up saying, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
That
sounds
well, fun. I think don't all great ideas start like that? Sasquatch, cold fusion, nuclear
oh, sure.
power, right?
I think you can absolutely compare us to those sort of discoveries. It's exactly the same as being in a laboratory to walk around a Frisbee golf park and shoot a Sasquatch video. That's exactly what it's like.
Yeah. So, there'll be two other parts to that, though.
There's so when you guys sit down to write the sketches, but let's move beyond Sasquatch into the rest of it. I mean, is it sort of like being in a writer's room? It's just idea after idea after idea. You're revising. Tell me about the creative process.
It's really exciting, and it's I mean, we sit around and we basically talk about the things that we think are funny. And then we try to kind of compare that consideration with what we think, how we think something would be received, whether we think people would enjoy the subject matter and the characters. And, it's a lot of fun to toss ideas back and forth, and, it's a lot of work, but it's quite enjoyable.
Yeah. There have been times where we've actually sat down and said, okay, we need to come up with an idea for this week or next week. But most of the time what happens is, because we all live in the same apartment, and so most of the time what happens is we'll be passing each other in the hall, and someone will just say something like, hey, what about shaving Sasquatch? And then the other two go, what?
No.
I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
And then the next day they say it again. And then a whole conversation starts, and then we pull out our computers and start writing, and then it starts to resemble a writer's room.
It's basically any idea we can't talk each other out of, we end up doing.
It's kind of like the writer's room extends to every part of our house because we live together. It's
right.
Like, hey, what about this idea? No. And then we meet up later in a different room, and it's like, yeah, that sounds good.
It seems better in the kitchen.
Yeah, you know what? I think maybe one
room
of our
has
rooms
its own
is just,
inspiration.
Yeah, one of the rooms is just a bad idea room.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I really like your videos, and I want to explore a little bit. I mean, I think they're shot nicely. I think they're edited nicely. So you have some skills. Where did you pick those up?
We got to mention Chris.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of the stuff that looks the best is probably shot by our friend Chris Commons, who's an incredible director of photography who lives here in town. As far as the editing, I worked as a freelance editor for years. Seth and I both studied film mm-hmm. in college, and Brian just became...
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Avila University.
I went to University of Kansas.
I knew I liked you the best.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's fair. I get that a lot. And Brian has just been a really quick study in sort of learning that those programs. So, I mean, when you really want something to look good, you're willing to put more time into figuring out how the stupid program works. And so
essentially we all edit, us three, we edit the videos.
Yeah. And we podcast, shoot a lot of them, and sometimes when we can afford it, we'll, and when schedules align, we'll bring in extra help for production as well.
Yeah, is this what you always wanted to do, or did you have other aspirations, and now you just find yourself in the Sasquatch video business?
It's pretty darn close to exactly what I've always wanted to do, which is really, really exciting for me, and it gives me sort of a lot of hope for the future, the next couple of years, if we can continue to grow, how many people we reach and how much they like our stuff and if they're willing to give back a little bit. It's really exciting to think that this is what we could do.
Yeah. I always thought I would either be a filmmaker or an actor. And, now I make sketches about pouring beans into bowls. And,
yeah.
And that's... Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, I always wanted to be a filmmaker, and I never knew anything before college though about what it takes. And then I got to college and I saw what it takes, and I was like, "Well, you need some help with that." And this is stumbled mm-hmm. upon this, and yeah,
it's exciting. A lot of people that you've heard about out there and who do SNL or shows on Comedy Central or IFC or any of these things, a lot of them started out doing their own content online. With their friends, and the advice that I've always heard is make things that you like with people that you like and keep on doing that until you've got a career. So that's kind of what we're doing.
I want to say that the part of the sketches that I really enjoy is that you're willing to let a moment stand, to have a little silence, that when you at the end of a scene, you don't necessarily feel like you have to fill up every second with dialogue, and I'm wondering where that comes from. Where's the inspiration for the writing?
I think it's a combination. It kind of depends on the sketch. I think Sometimes it can be a little more tough to do that because when you're creating a YouTube video, you know, the attention span of somebody who's going to watch a YouTube video isn't always the longest.
Yeah.
So you can't, you don't have that liberty a lot of the time. But if you're making, if we're making a sketch like I don't know, like Shaving Sasquatch or something, we got a little more time and we're like, we think this is hilarious. And so we're willing to leave that silence.
We all come from a live theater background.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking lately that I feel like that gives us the ability to predict an audience response a little bit better because we have so much experience improvising and playing scenes in front of audiences and understanding how we deal with their attention and how we get laughs and when we can pause for a moment to let something sink in, as opposed to maybe someone who has been making videos and they haven't had the experience of being in front of a live audience. So I think we know when we need to keep things moving, and I think we know when it's okay to let something sit for a minute.
Yeah.
So let's go back to, do you have filmmakers as inspiration, actors, comedians? Where does everybody has some inspiration?
Sure. I think we would all probably say list off some of the standards, Monty Python and that sort of thing. I particularly enjoy a couple of groups, the Whitest Kids You Know. They had a show on IFC for a while, but before that, they were just making YouTube videos that, frankly, looked much worse than ours. But they were hilarious. They were hilarious. And also this comedy duo called Britannic doing the same thing. They started making videos on YouTube that didn't have very good production quality because they didn't know quite what they were doing in that realm, but they had just killer writing ability.
Mm-hmm.
And I would watch those and just get so inspired. And I'm glad to be sort of part of that world in some way now.
Yeah. When it comes to like stand-up, we're all fans of Louis C.K. In fact, we saw him together a couple weeks ago.
Here in Kansas City.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like, you know, we like to make jokes and write about like, you know, real life kind of issues or like, you know, just stuff that everybody experiences too. So
try to find things that resonate, yeah.
Yeah.
You have, I've noticed in your videos that you have like a little troupe of actors who, now are you, you know, able to pay them?
Yes. Yeah, we are.
Wow.
Thanks to our supporters on Patreon, we are able to pay. We you know, when you are an actor, you get tired of being told that you're getting paid in exposure. And so when we turn around and ask someone to do something for us, we don't want to tell them that. And so thanks to the fact that we have supporters, it's nobody's getting rich on our videos. That's for sure. But we do try to pay people for their time and talents.
Yeah. And as we continue to grow, we're able to do that more and better.
Yeah.
So where are you going next? Feature films, some broadcast?
I've been thinking about writing a screenplay in the next couple months. I've got a little bit more time in my schedule, and I think that I want to write some pilots and screenplays and things like that. I think we'd all love to make longer form content, television, things like that.
I would love to get to the point where I was mostly just where I was writing and performing and leaving all the technical aspects to someone else.
Yeah, that'd be great. I would also like to have like a throne in my room. I just think that I would enjoy having a throne that was made out of like boxes of ramen to just remind me.
Brian, that is a totally obtainable dream.
That's true. Maybe I should make it gold.
Yeah. For the time being, we have some sketches that we have that are coming out. A couple more Sasquatch ones.
There's a sketch about a couple of guys who sell artisanal found objects. So they go through alleys in the city and find objects that they believe are meaningful, and they sell those on the street.
Mm-hmm. We have a sketch about someone who has a divine revelation when he forgets to bring his phone into the bathroom with him, and we've got all sorts of things in the can. Oh, I didn't mean to say it like that. Anyway, we've got all sorts of ideas locked and loaded, ready for the next few weeks.
Yeah, if you want to see this, our stuff we do, you can go to frienddogstudios.com. There's a link to our Patreon page where we post about, you know, more things.
Facebook.com/frienddogstudios, YouTube.com/frienddogstudios. It's the internet. If you put those three words into a search engine, you'll find us.
We're going to find what we want. Tell us where we can see at the KC Fringe Festival, when and where.
If you go to thelivingroomkc.com, you'll see the Living Room Theater has four different Fringe shows, and we are one of them. And the three of us act in some of the others, and I directed one of the others. It's sort of an acting company. So if you go to thelivingroomkc.com, you can find out about Hacks, our show, and a number of other great shows. And then, of course, frienddogstudios.com for all of our other stuff.
Brian, Seth, and Ben, thanks ever so much for being here. I appreciate it. Good luck with the venture. Good luck at the KT Fringe Fest.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.